Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
We're going to leave the book of Numbers. That was just the way of by way of introduction that described what I'm going to preach this morning in 1 Corinthians. So if you would turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 1. Oh, here's a great truth. Maybe you never thought about this before. And what we have here is the history of Old Testament Israel, and it's a metaphor. It's actual events that actually happened, and it's a picture of New Testament Christianity. And we're going to talk about that in a quick moment. But first of all, let me say this. Old Testament Israel failed to enter. They were delivered out of the land of Egypt, and because of unbelief, that's going to be the heart of the message this morning. They failed to enter into the promised land. And that's a picture of the abundant life. But they were still God's people. You see, they already had been delivered out of Egypt. They ended up living and dying in the wilderness, a whole generation, for 40 years. The Bible tells us, because of unbelief, they weren't willing to walk the life and live the life of faith. Jesus was good enough to get them out of the land of Egypt, but not good enough to put them in the land of, or get them into the promised land, the land of Canaan. That's not a picture of heaven. That, if that's the case, then Moses didn't go to heaven. You know, that falls all apart. That is a picture of walking closer to God than you have ever walked before. There's more. There is more in life after salvation. There's more. You can get closer to God. You can have the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ evident in your life. Listen to me. This isn't just religious talk. You can get your prayers answered. God hears your prayers. And God answers your prayers. Not God bless the missionaries. I mean prayers. You can have that kind of life. You don't have to die in the wilderness. Verse 1 of chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Talking to these Corinthian believers. I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So in other words, and that is a picture of salvation. That's what that is. Delivered out of the land of Egypt and crossed over the Red Sea, never got wet, not one drop. It's a picture of just being completely overwhelmed and completely covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're all baptized, verse 3, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So God, the powerful God of heaven, provided for them every step of the way. And all he asked them to do was have a little bit more faith, practice what they preach, cross over the River Jordan, take the city of Jericho, take the city of Ai, take the walled cities there in the promised land, because it's a land that flows with milk and honey. There are people over there to win to Christ. And all it takes is a little bit of faith, but the majority, and this is the majority of New Testament Christianity, wandering in the wilderness. And listen to me, that's a hard life. The wilderness was filled with graves. It was a tough life, wandering in the world. God never forsook them. God provided for them manna, quail, water from the rock. That rock followed them. What a picture of Jesus Christ. So you might be living in that wilderness lifestyle right now. Know this, God hasn't forsaken you. If you genuinely got born again, you're born again. You're saved because of Jesus Christ. Now, if you didn't, get saved. And if you were playing a game, God knows it. You're not fooling him. But if you meant it, you're born again, whether you got saved at the bed, you're kneeling by your bed or in a locker room somewhere or out in the woods or in a preaching service where you walked the aisle and you surrendered to Christ and you got born again and said, Jesus, I repent of my sin. Please forgive me of all my sin. Then you got born again. But too many are living in the wilderness after salvation, living from paycheck to paycheck, just trying to do the best you can You never have a big enough nest egg. That thing will keep growing until it's all gone. And that could happen overnight. But you know, that's not going to happen. And you're living in the wilderness, and you've lost your joy. You're the one I'm preaching to here this morning. I trust that God will get a hold of your heart. Verses 3 and 4, they were provided for, but they never reached their potential. Let's go back to Numbers 14 very quickly. Pastor Josh read it for you, the two verses. And Numbers chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they will not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. And don't die in the wilderness. Worse than that, don't send your children to the wilderness. That's empty. The way of the transgressor is hard. Nobody is more miserable than the backslidden Christian. The drunk on the bar stool every Friday and Saturday night, the backslidden Christian's more miserable than him. Because they know, they've seen the miracles. They've witnessed the power of God. And they're just wandering around without God in their lives. Don't do that. Not as a child of God. They did not please God. They never reached their potential. John chapter 10. We're coming back to 1 Corinthians 10, but look at John 10 real quickly. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is Jesus speaking. I am come that they might have life. That's eternal life. And that they might have it more abundantly. God intends for you to live under the spout where the glory comes out. God intends for you to know the joy of God. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. God intends for you to enter into the promised land, the abundant life, the land of Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey. That's the will of God for your life. Not that there won't be battles. There were battles. They had to take fortress cities. There were casualties along the way when they got disobedient. But God intended for the land to be theirs. They were going to live in cities that they didn't build. They were going to eat of the vineyards that they did not plant. They were going to, God was just, we have the proverbial silver spoon born in our mouth as children of God. Here's the problem. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 again and verse 5. The problem? But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were chosen, they were delivered, and they were sustained. They were provided for, and they were protected. And yet, God was not pleased with them. 35 times he warned them of their fornication. 24 times of their adultery. They had turned back to the world, and God was not pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness. These are people, let's fast forward to the New Testament. These are people that are born again, baptized, and attending church. But God is not pleased because of unbelief. And because of unbelief, they've turned back to the world. Therein is the problem. And that's why we need revival in America. That's why we need it in the state of Michigan. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. They had lusted. By nature, we are in love with ourselves. The old flesh is a self-love that does not have to be reinforced, but it is reinforced by the world, the culture that we live in, and even some pulpits. Many are under the delusion that whatever they do in life as a Christian, God is pleased with them. And that's a delusion. That's not what the Word of God says. We're saved by grace. No strings attached, man. Salvation's free. It's all found in Jesus Christ. Here's where the problem comes. It's Romans chapter 6, where a lot of people think because they were saved and it's free, and I'm so thankful any sinner can come to Christ. And then after salvation, we have decisions to make. And some think that everything else, we can just live the way we want to live, that that's a license to sin. Grace is not a license to sin. God judges sin. God never blesses sin. If we choose to do wrong, there's going to be repercussions. That's called chastisement. If I'm a teenager and I choose to get involved in something I shouldn't get involved in, even though I come to Fundamental Baptist Church, there's going to be a smackdown by God. Not by mom and dad, by God. That's far worse. Worse than the smackdown is, if you're really saved, God the Father, my Father, as a result of that, is not pleased with me. They were guilty of lust. The children in the wilderness, that's longing for things contrary to the will of God. The dangers within are greater than the dangers without. That's why, man, if you've got a teenager and you gave him a cell phone, you gave him a Trojan horse. I don't know what teenager's old enough to handle it. I'm just telling you, I'm going to preach a sermon on it in the near future because I see a whole generation just turning right to the devil. In a big way. You see, when I was in high school, the biggest and the baddest thing was what we used to call a skin magazine, right? In the back of a bus going to a public school ball game somewhere. That was the biggest and baddest thing. Now, it's in their hands. Everywhere they go. And they don't have to ask for it. It comes to them. And it's there. You want to get rid of drama in your teenager's life? Get rid of their cell phone. It's drama every hour on the hour. It's nonstop. Hey, I'm preaching another message. That's a commercial for the future. We're going to let that go, all right? But they were guilty of lust. Adults are guilty of the same thing. Also, verse 7, let's go there. Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Idolatry. Exodus chapter 32, the golden calf. We're guilty of the same thing. Sometimes our idols are sports teams. Sometimes our idols are, I mean, when their name comes up, bang, we're devoted. We're there, man. Sometimes our idols, sometimes it's just start naming things. Television programs. Fox News. I heard you're getting hooked on that. Okay, all right. I was told that your son's turning into you. All right, that's the rumor. That's what I heard right now, all right. You can't let those things run your life. Man, the world's going to go on without you knowing what's going on over there. You got a Jerusalem to win to Christ. You can get a few headlines and that's enough. You don't need to be tied to it. It's not a ball and chain. Don't let it become an idol. How did you really do in that 5 minutes of prayer every day? How devoted are you really to God? I bet you gave 5 minutes to other things. Man, give it to God. No idols. Don't be bowing down to those things. Fornication, that's sex before marriage, and they were guilty of it. Numbers in chapter 22, right on through Numbers in chapter 25, 23,000 died at one time. We're told again and again, the young man is told to flee from fornication if he's going to serve God. We're told all kinds of New Testament scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:18, 1 Corinthians 9:27. We got to possess this vessel unto honor for the glory of God. We can't just feed all kinds of junk into it and expect it to be something for the glory of God. Idolatry is a terrible thing, and it's alive and well in the 21st century America that we live in. It's in every direction. Anything that comes before God. Fornication, that sexual sin, it's going on everywhere. No faith. Look at verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. It's easy to test God. The Bible says, and it's wrong, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you're in Sunday school, in the adult Sunday school right now this morning, you heard it right this very morning in the book of Colossians. We're saved by faith. Paul told the church at Colossae, you're saved by faith, live by faith. Don't live by sight. You are saved by faith in God, in the grace of God. You live by faith in God, in the grace of God. God will protect you. He'll feed you. He'll watch over you. And it is the abundant life. Verse 10, another sin they were guilty of. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Wanted to go back to Egypt. That's unbelievable. Just hold the thought there. And this message isn't a whole lot longer. But let's go back to Numbers 14. I'd like you all to turn there. Numbers in chapter 14. Because even what I said, that little shot about you mess with somebody's God, boy, they're mad. That little shot I said about cell phones, I bet you there's some teenagers really mad at Pastor Rader right now. Yeah. Oh, you mess with somebody's God. Oh, man, you hands off that. Hands off that. Yeah. It's something, you're giving yourself away. You're giving yourself away. And we all got our idols, I'm telling you, and they need to be set aside for the glory of God. Then they started to murmur against Moses because he said, tear down that golden calf. Destroy it. No idols. Man, Moses was hot, and he took a strong stand. He'd just been in the presence of Jehovah. Brought back with him the Decalogue. Man, God's people were supposed to advance and move on. And he came back to adultery and fornication and murmuring. Now they're complaining about Moses. Who does he think he is? Verse 1 of chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. Man, they were Baptists, no doubt about it. And the people wept that night. Oh, he's messing with our golden calf. Verse 2 says, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, now they're a mob, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness, and wherewith hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? That's a false premise, by the way. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. This is astonishing. Former slaves, 400 years of slavery, unhappy with freedom. Former slaves in Egypt, under the whip and the heel of Pharaoh. For 400 years, and God heard their prayers and finally sent the deliverer of Moses and delivered them out of the land of Egypt. That's salvation. And now they're complaining. They're unhappy with their freedom. See, with freedom comes responsibility. You say, I mean, that is so foolish. That's us. That's us. The New Testament born-again Christian desiring to go back to the world. Listen to me, that world has done nothing for you but beat you up, chew you up, and spit you out. Why would you want to go back to it? Man, maybe you're a Christian, a young person that grew up in a Christian home. We got a few of those like that now. You know, we're in the third generation here. And you're thinking, man, I want freedom. I want to go to the world. I want to go to the land of Egypt. I want to dress like the Egyptians, and I want to worship their gods. And you know, that's a wonderful life. They're telling me it's a wonderful life. Look, it's right here. I see it. It's a wonderful life. That's not freedom. Maybe you're not born again. I hope you are. If you're not, get saved. I hope you get saved. That world has nothing for you. Maybe you're starting to listen to them. Don't do that. You want the promised land. You don't want the old life, the problem. And you go with me in my history. Go with me back, trace back my family, my generation, and see what the world does. I don't know if I preached this not too long ago, but I mean, it was my generation, my cousins. Man, people in the area thought there was a curse on the Raider boys. I mean, they were tragically killed, bang. Bang, bang. There's four of them that should be adults right now that aren't around here. They didn't get a chance to raise a family. Their lives were snuffed out. And some of them because of sin. Don't go back to the world. The promised land is what you want. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 10 first. 1 Corinthians 10. I'm wrapping it up, so I'm going to make this hot and heavy here, try to get right to it. Verse chapter 10, speaking of that promised land, that abundant life that we read about in John in chapter 10 and verse 10. That's more to life than salvation. Salvation is the biggest thing. You get born again. You become part of God's family. Now you make some good choices and you start living for God. And then you start to learn and know the blessings of God. Don't get caught up in lust and idolatry and fornication and in samples or in murmuring. And by the way, the next verse, verse 11, says these things happen for our ensamples. Ensample is the Old English plural of example. In other words, this has been lived out again and again and again. Every generation, people dying early deaths and living lives of debauchery and broken families and heartache and tears. And man, don't go to the world. There's no answers there. You get born again, and then you cross over the River Jordan into the promised land. That comes by faith. That's that abundant life. Turning your Bibles to Ephesians. We're probably done here in Corinthians. Actually, I'll shorten this up. Ephesians. Chapter 3. Man, there's a whole lot here. verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, like the world, in the vanity of their mind, empty-headedness, empty lives, empty hearts, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Don't get a hard heart towards the things of God. Who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Talking about sexual sins there. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth unto his neighbor. And boy, it just goes on and lists a bunch of sin there. But we're to put on the new man. We're to be a different people. We're not to live like the Gentiles. That's another way, in other words, the unsaved. And that's how it applies to the day and age in which we are living in. Instead, there's a better life. I'll close with this, as far as where you got to turn. Proverbs chapter 3. Turn over there. Proverbs in chapter 3. So it's important you turn there. Proverbs 3. Verse 5. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Who are you not supposed to trust? Yourself. Amen. You can rationalize and argue away any sin, but it's still black in the eyes of God. Right. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. I've been jumping on teenagers a little bit this morning. Let me have one more shot. One more shot. I'm going to preach at your parents after that, all right? One more shot. If you think you're mature, you're not. Be not wise in your own eyes. If you think you're mature as a 16-year-old, you're not mature. You're the only one that thinks you're mature. That's it. You're not. I know that pops a lot of bubbles and balloons and whatever else needs to be popped. Verse, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Get away from it. And it shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That is the abundant life. Living for God in the perfect will of God. Living in Christ. Walking in faith. I want our barns to be full. That's a full crowd, full house this morning. We got to do it two times on Sunday morning. That's why we're doing the early service. Say, preacher, do you think it's going to be full right away? No, I don't. Well, it might be the Tom Farrell meeting. You know, a lot of you people probably come to that. I want to hear every time I can. But we got to build it. And I'm going to preach on it. And we're going to fill up the church the second time. I'm not referring to the church house as a barn, but as far as a metaphor, yeah. We want the barns to be filled. We want the presses to be overflowing with new wine. Man, we want to know the full blessings of God all the way. We have a life to live. Chapter 12, or verse 12, don't need to go back there. In 1 Corinthians 10 says it's not over. There's a pursuit. We need to live in the promised land every day. Get up and live a new life for God. Every day, get up, make the decision at the beginning of the day. This day is yours, God. It's yours. I want you to be exalted. I want you to somehow be manifested. Charles Spurgeon illustrated it this way one time in one of his sermons, and I read his sermons all of the time. He says, every day is to be lived and lived wholly for the glory of Jesus Christ. He said, it's like this. It's like your life is pictured by, you get up and the table, there's a table full of loaves of bread. Say there's 30 loaves of bread for the month. And every loaf, you're supposed to eat one loaf a day. You choose a loaf and you eat it every day. One loaf contains poison. And that'll be the end of your life. You don't know which one it is. So you get up, you eat your bread. It doesn't kill you. You thank God for that day. That day is to be lived for God. One day will be the day of your death. What he was saying by that illustration is our days are numbered. There's only so many days. You can't waste them. You say, oh, I'm 21. I got a lot of time. No, you don't. You may have less time than me. You have no idea. Every day is to be lived for the glory of God. Then in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 speaks of the power to live that life for God's glory. I want to say this in closing. It can happen. You can have the abundant life. You can have victory over personal sin. You can have answered prayer, direct answer to prayer in your lives. You can have the peace of God, have purpose, and the power of God. You can cross the River Jordan. It'll happen by way of faith, not being disobedient to God, living a life that's pleasing to God, and you can enter into the land of Canaan, and you can live your life for the glory of God, and it's a good life. I'm afraid sometimes we have been maybe misrepresented the life of living for God. I want to tell you, any moment, any day I have lived for God has been a good day. It's been good moments. Any time away from God, those were tough. It's a great life serving God. It's a great life knowing His blessing. Say, Pastor, you don't know, man. This could happen to the economy, and this is going on over here, and I got a sister over here that she's all over me all the time. It don't matter. You walk by faith. You live in the presence of God. Does God answer your prayers? Do you have joy unspeakable? Do you know what peace is? Do you really know what it is? Not good for your health to be walking away from God. You know what purpose is? What do you do? What's your purpose for living? Eating? I gotta admit, I like eating. But that's not my purpose. That's not what it's about. Man, it's about living for Christ. The more, the closer you get to Christ, the closer you get to God, the more of Christ you have. Yeah. The more Christ has you. That's a better way to put it. That is the technical way to put it. What a blessing it is studying the book of Colossians. Wow. Our adult Sunday school class, man, don't you talk bad about my Christ. You don't understand. You get your nose bent about something happening over here or over there, and you don't have the joy. You don't understand. We are complete in Christ. I have everything I need in Christ. I want to spend the rest of my life exalting Jesus Christ. Just like that banner in the back of the church and over the doors of the auditorium, Chippewa County for Christ. You know what I want? I want everybody in Chippewa County to hear the gospel. I want everybody in Chippewa County to get the opportunity to come to Christ. And some of them need to hear it three times before they get saved. I want this county to come to Christ. I know that's the will of God, because the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. God wants your coworkers saved and your loved ones saved. God wants them all to come to Christ. My life and your life and this church ought to be all about bringing people to the Master.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.